శ్రీరూపం సాకృజాతం సాగన రఘునాథం వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం శ్రీకృష్ణచైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితం కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి ఋషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యస్య కృపా సింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే. సో విల్ డు క్విక్ రీక్యాప్. So what are, maybe this is not previous, even before maybe the two pages. So what are the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita? So Ishvara, that's the Supreme Lord, Jiva, that's the living entities, Prakriti, the material nature, Kala, time, and Karma, so activities, yeah. So which of them are eternal? We discuss this one also. Which of them are eternal and which one is not?
Other than karma, Kala,
so why karma is not eternal? Why is, what's the reason?
If you can go to 11 number slide, I had this question because in that slide is written that Kala is from time immemorial, it's a happening.
Hmm?
But and so as like Mataji last answer, Prakriti, it is like manifested and again and again and again annihilated. It's temporary but eternal. But yes. Then karma, this the third point, is activities are carried out from time immemorial. Then why again it is called eternal, not eternal?
Because it's
so there is a difference between immemorial and eternal, right? It's a difference of meaning.
No, that I don't understand.
Yeah. So immemorial, yeah, it can be, you know, we don't remember something which we don't remember. For example, if I take, I don't even remember my last life. So that's called immemorial. But eternal means it's always existing. Whether I remember or no, it always exists.
Okay.
So in this case, karma is not eternal, right? Why is karma is not eternal?
Because Krishna can take away the effects of karma. Whereas the rest all will be there.
Yes. So that's the last point we discussed. Like karma is not eternal. Karma changes with perfection of knowledge. So what's that perfection of knowledge?
It's understanding your constitutional position, that Swarupa Siddhi, that perfection of knowledge is like you, that is revealed to you by through devotional service. And
so the activities we do regularly, right? Does it bring any karma?
Yes.
Right? So that's a binding. The karma is a binding. So you will come back to reap those benefits. If you have done something pious activities, you have to come back to, you know, enjoy that results. If you do something bad, again it's the same thing, you have to come back. But the activities we do in bhakti or devotional service, there is no action or reaction for that activities.
Karma.
So it's akarma. That we will discuss in later chapters. So that's why we don't have to come back to reap that to the material world. So that's why it's on the spiritual platform. So there is no action and reactions for those activities which we perform on the bhakti platform. Right?
So jiva is also eternal?
Yes, soul,
and
right?
Because, oh, it is soul.
Yeah, jiva is a soul.
So it's not the body, it's the soul.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that I will ask one.
There was never a time when I didn't exist, you didn't exist. So that's what
we are discussing, 2.10 or something. And what does Prakriti consist of? I think it may be gets here only. So mainly the Prakriti, I don't know whether we had time to just go through the introduction at home or we discussed this, and it's in the book also, we already covered that section. So Prakriti basically it consists of three material modes. And what are they? Yes. So the jiva, the living, so basically all these five subject matters we discuss, they are all interrelated. So that once you, you know, get a bigger picture, you will understand. So basically, you know, the Prakriti, it consists of three modes of nature. And when the jiva comes in contact with the material nature, then that's how we take the material body. When we come in contact with the material nature, so our nature, it depends on the one of these modes. Whichever is predominant, we get that nature. Right, so one person can be very in mode of goodness, right, and one person can be really in mode of passion. So what decides, right, that so whatever we have, you know, the activities we are performing, so if you are doing activities in one of this mode predominantly, so you get your next body according to that nature, right? So then, and what is kala, right? In the kala is that time. So that's the one which, you know, the kala is called, it's actually brings the transformation, right? If you take example of body, right, our regular body, so what all transformation our body goes through? So can anybody, it's in Bhagavad Gita, but I think we didn't discuss still, but even if you take example of our own body, so it goes through six major transformations. So what are those major transformations?
It exists, then
so birth,
growth,
adolescence, adulthood, infant. Yeah. Oh, that stages you think that procreate and then dwindle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is that
Pujan? Procreate and dwindle, last that body the photonathya
se jayi. Ah, so so it's like adolescent and then
stage
of
that's
not specific.
Specific.
Yeah.
No, it takes
so
birth.
Six, yeah. One is it takes birth. Mm. Second
grows.
One is it grows,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The next one it stays for some time,
still,
right? All the time we know it stays. That's a one stage, right? It stays the body.
Then
it procreates. It produces some byproduct. Okay. For example, kids, children, and all, right? It produces.
Dwindles.
Then
Dwindles.
It becomes
Dwindles.
Old.
Mm.
Then after that,
dies.
It vanishes. So everything is comes under time. The time is the one which acts as the agent of change.
Mm.
So that forces everything in this material world. So that's why in the Bhagavad Gita we read that under purview of time.
Mm.
Prabhupada mentions very clearly.
Yeah.
Everything works under purview of time. And of course we discuss about karma. So that's one this thing. Then the jiva, right? That also we discussed. How the nature, everything.
For kala, we also discussed about like when you do karma, like the recycling of that particular karma is also considered as the
karma.
Kala, right?
Reaction, karma.
Yeah. Oh, action, reaction is the karma piece.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I remembered in my layman stuff was the rate at which we do the karma is basically the time. Time is kind of on the top.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the time is above the
modes.
Mm. That's
above
true.
The modes.
Above the modes. Basically, it works under the time.
Okay.
All whatever activities we do, it's controlled by time.
Mm.
So when it mixes with the modes, that's how the activities takes. When the jiva, right? When it mixes with the time, then only the activities takes place.
Like we have to wait for like morning to do certain things.
Yeah.
Like afternoon, so we need time to for things to take place.
Oh,
like that.
Okay.
So when if we are like outside this material world, then time has no impact on us?
No, that's why it's eternal.
Okay.
It's eternal. Time doesn't have any impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are always Sachidananda Vigraha. You don't get old, you don't get, it's always the same. That's why Krishna, everybody, right? In spiritual Vaikuntha platform, all the residents, they're of same, there is no effect of time on them. They always exist, they're always Sachidananda. Always, you know, eternal bliss and full of knowledge. So, and also this is maybe a common talk, just a kind of a quiz question. So, are we part of material nature still? How does the material nature impact living entities? Or what's the effect of material nature on the living entity?
It is to contaminate our jivas to think that we are this body. Only when that knowledge goes away, can we be in the stage to serve Krishna.
So what does the material nature awards the living entity?
Fulfills, facilitates.
Yeah, it's close. Of course, there are so many, you know, variations we can answer. So basically, are we part of material nature? In one sense?
One sense, yes, one sense, no, right? Because material nature is eternal, just like we are. It changes form, but it's still eternal.
No, material nature is again third one, right?
Body is the
jiva.
Yeah.
So Mataji got. So material nature awards body still, right? Our body, it's made up of that 8 materials. It's in Bhagavad Gita. Bhumir, Apollo,
water, air, fire, ether,
false ego, everything, right? So the material nature, when we come in contact, the living entity is a pure spiritual soul. So when it comes in contact with the material nature awards body based on your karma. So, but there is a, you know, big theory in this modern scientific field that we are being created by the material nature itself. We are part of the cosmic manifestation. And Prabhupada gives a wonderful example. Like if you take, you know, you give example where if you take a stack of rice or a, you know, like a stack of rice. So if you see a scorpio coming in India, it's very common, right? In the, if you stack some insects or some scorpions comes out. So scientists say, so the scorpion is part of the rice. It came out of rice. It got, you know, generated from the rice. Is it true?
No,
it's not true. So Prabhupada says the seed or the
egg
was there in the rice. It was already there.
By the parents, by other scorpion, left it, right? Mm.
So, but it just comes out of the rice. It takes whatever that birth or something, born from there, it just comes out. So Prabhupada says the material nature, it's just the immediate cause. Like for example, giving the body. But the ultimate cause is the Lord, because he is the one who is the seed giving father.
Unmanifested.
Yes, so he is the one who is the seed giving father, and it's also in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's 14.4. Sarva Yunishu Kaunteya. I think it's 14.4. You can, if you want, you can mark that. 14.4.
Because that will cover in the next, today's slide will cover this material. Yeah, it will cover them.
Right? And also there is one more example where Prabhupada gives, these are all just, you know, for clarification, since we discuss so many things, we have to be to very, you know, clear in the concept. So he gives an example of potter. You know potter, right? Who makes all this, I don't know what the quality. Pots, right? Small pots, different this thing. The potter wheel, the one they use it, and the pot itself. So the pot is the living entity, the output. The potter wheel is the material nature, and the potter is the Lord. So the immediate cause is the potter wheel for the living entity or for the pot, but without the help of the potter wheel cannot do anything. So finally, you know, is Krishna is a seed giving father. It's not the material nature. So that's how we should understand the relationship. So if somebody says, it's very common misconception we have,
so pot,
general.
So we are the pot.
Yes, living entity.
Body or living entity?
Yeah, the pot is a living entity. Potter wheel is the material nature, and the potter himself is the Lord.
Potter wheel is the
material nature,
and potter is the Lord.
So the immediate cause is the potter wheel, but the ultimate call is potter, potter himself.
But the material cause is also coming from Krishna.
Yes, he is controlled. That's why we discussed in the Prakriti.
So
basically, it's controlled by Krishna.
Yes. So he is basically both the cause,
yeah,
the material cause and the information cause.
That's the correct understanding. Yes. Yeah. So that was one. Then
I have one question then. This, like, as you said, the eight elements, there's a Panchamahabhuta and plus this mind, intelligence and discernment.
Yeah, it's 7, 5, 4, I think, right?
So in that, that false ego, mind and intelligence, all these things in this material world it exists. When we come into contact, then only all these things comes. So when I think, if the mind is thinking, so when I'm in this like spirit form, how can I think again then? Because I'm not, I don't have this false ego or mind or intelligence.
You'll have like real ego and spiritual mind and intelligence, completely pure.
Spirit soul also has some constituents.
Yes, spirit soul also has like real ego. Ego is nothing but, basically it's similar to consciousness. Ego is a concept of what we think we are. So I am, like false ego means I am this body. Real ego means I am servant of Krishna.
So ego is there. It's just that it's a
false ego.
Yes, so that's why we say false ego, which we think we are the doer.
So when the soul is pure, you will have real ego, that I am servant of Krishna. And similarly, he will have spiritual mind and intelligence through which he will think how to serve Krishna, intelligence to serve. It doesn't mean that all the devotees in Goloka doesn't have intelligence. They have to really use the intelligence to create pastimes of Krishna and all those things, right? So it's all completely pure spiritual. It's not material.
So the qualities exist in spiritual world. The perverted reflection of those qualities, that's what we see in the material world. So it just perverted. Okay, so I think that's good.
I think I got the order wrong. So first you have the five bhutas, then you have the mind.
Yeah, Prabhu, it's actually 7-4.
7-4.
Yeah, you can open 7-4. Page 369, I think. It's the same thing. 308. So it's Bhumi, Rapalo, Analo, Vayu, Kama, Mano, Buddhir, Evacha, Ahankara, Itiyam, Me, Binna, Prakriti, Hastadam. So basically our body is made up of this all eight material elements or energies.
Okay. So we covered briefly some of the differences between Lord and the living entity. So like we covered like 3 points, right? Lord comes as Paramatma, whereas living entity resides, and he resides in all the bodies, whereas living entity resides only in his own body. Because of which Lord can actually... Oh, it's not coming there. So because of which the Lord cannot so Lord can give direction to all the living entities because he's present in all the bodies. And also Lord, let's say Paramatma, as Paramatma he comes, but when he comes as Bhagavan, he's not forced to come like all of us. Like Jiva is forced to take birth. We cannot say, oh, I chose to be a man, I chose to become a woman. We may say, oh, now we are independent and controller, we may act like that. But we are forced, the moment of death, we cannot say, oh, I'll determine what I'll be next. It's not completely out of our control. But when the Lord comes, he chooses out of his own free will to come. And he takes a form, different forms, Varaha, Narsingha, all these different forms for the sake of pastimes. And so Lord is not affected by karma, because karma is created by the Lord. So it's also a material element. So Lord is not affected, but whereas living entity gets entangled. So actually this is one very important question we should understand. So Jiva is spiritual nature, right? It's part of Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha. were, and it's superior, right? We considered the jivas to be superior, but the inferior nature matter is inferior. Then how does jiva get influenced by inferior nature? Why? Right? Jiva, no, jiva is superior nature, right? Matter is inferior. But jiva, when it comes in touch with the matter, he gets overcome and conditioned and materially contaminated. So why?
Because of the tendency to want to control material nature.
That's true, but let's say if you have to logically understand.
Basically something superior.
Something superior is coming under the control of something inferior.
It's like prison outside, what they say, right?
Yeah.
Is it because of that? We are forced to stay inside the body.
No. How is he forced? That's the question. Like, why is he?
Because you wanted to.
Karma? No.
Okay.
Body, is that mind?
So, something related to quantity. Can somebody explain with respect to quantity?
Okay, we are minute in quantity to. Just like Krishna wants to control, we also want to control.
Control, but.
But we cannot control anything. Only thing we can control is something inferior, which is material. But at the same time, everyone is trying to control that. And hence all the problems.
Slightly, jiva is small, but tiny, but the material nature, even though inferior, it's very powerful. So the whole of this universe, everything is material nature.
Right.
But jiva is so small, it's living in this body, that's all. So even though it's superior in nature, the quantity is so small that he gets overcome by inferior nature, which is very vast, and it's a complete extension of Lord's energy.
So
that's
so.
Even though it's superior, he gets overwhelmed by inferior nature because that nature is very powerful. It's very big. Like all the tsunamis, everything is happening because of material nature. How can one jiva go and say, or stand and say, stop tsunami? Cannot do, right? So we are so tiny and we have only little, even our kids we cannot control so many times. So that's so. We have limited ability to control.
We can't even control our own mind.
Yeah, exactly. Even digestion, health, all these things. Then, so the Lord actually, Lord travels with the living entity to the next destination. This is a very nice point we should understand, like how it all started, right? So, originally we all are there with the spiritual Lord in the spiritual world. With his pastimes, with this entourage, all this. Everybody is having pastimes with the Lord, and we are also meant to serve the Lord in a particular service, individual service, which is very specific and very individual, only we can perform. But then at one point, but then there Krishna is the center. Everybody is like making garlands for Krishna, everybody is trying to make sweets and things, everything is around Krishna. So we at one point we think, why it's always about him? Why can't I be the center? I also want to be center. So the moment we think, it's out of envy. The thought comes, it's called envy. And the moment we think like that, envy doesn't have a place in the spiritual world. Everything else, all the other qualities like greed, everything has a spiritual, like use in Krishna's service. But only envy cannot be used in Krishna's service. So the moment we think, we are not qualified to stay there. So essentially, immediately the jiva falls down. But then while going, Krishna comes behind us to stop, like don't go. You, if you are trying to be the Lord, but you'll never be happy, you'll never be satisfied, don't go. Like, no, I want to try it out, how it is like that. I want to see to myself how it is. Then Krishna tried long time to stop, but we still didn't listen. So we said, okay, then Krishna created this whole world, whole universe, whole creation to facilitate that desire of the jiva to be the Lord and center. So that's why here we see everybody is trying to be the center. That's why we have all these conflicts. Everybody wants to create their own center and like, okay, my desire, my will, all these things. But same jivas, again, if you put Krishna as center, it becomes a harmonious world. That's Vaikuntha atmosphere, basically. That's why even in this world, we can experience Vaikuntha if we cultivate this Krishna consciousness as Krishna as a center. So that's why the original mistake we made can be revived by developing that love back to Krishna again. Right? So because of envy, we came here. But we clear that envy and develop the love to Krishna, again we will be eligible to go back. Because otherwise with all these problems, if we go again we will do the same mistake. And unnecessarily we will disturb the pastimes there. We will go and create like poke our nose and do something. So better we clear all our mistakes, purify our heart through devotional service, and then eligible to go back. So, and for that reason, Lord is so merciful. Even though he stopped us, he said, okay, you are going to take this body. You don't know how to enjoy through this body. You don't even know where to go to for food, where to go for water. So I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to guide you how to enjoy. So that is the Paramatma. So through so all these forms, he comes, accompanies us through different forms to guide us. And slowly, and we, as we discussed, the real thing which Paramatma is waiting for is to look to him to say, Paramatma, show me the way. Now, I want to come back to you, show me the way. Then Paramatma gives directions to how to approach him, like which is Bhagavan, how to approach Bhagavan. So that's the real thing which Paramatma is waiting for.
So that's what you mean by Lord travels with living entity to
Yes, as a Paramatma.
Yeah, as a Paramatma.
So he always accompanies the Jiva.
Yeah, he's within everywhere.
Not like in the bodily state, but once you are transmigrating at that
particular,
he's always there. That's why, you know, that we discuss, that's how we can, the knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness, it comes because of him. So even if we, he gives the forgetfulness. Otherwise, if we remember something of the previous life, we will not be able to live normally in this life. We will be, you know, mind will be overwhelmed and we will become mad. So that's why the forgetfulness also has a part. He makes us forget all this.
Yeah.
I have a question. I'm not able to. So far, okay, we explain Kala, Jiva, Prakriti, and all that. So everything is explained. Then, now up to that, it's fine. Then we make this jump that in Kali Yuga, that, you know, chanting is the only way, right? So does that also, is that also said in Bhagavad Gita that chanting is the way forward?
Yes. Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Yeah, there is a verse. I don't remember exactly which one.
Index.
We can look up the index. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantasya dridavrataha
namasyantasya mam bhaktya nityakta upasate.
Suddenly struck me.
And even in different, like Katha Upanishad, everywhere it's clearly mentioned, like, you know, you have to do the kirtans of the Lord's name.
The different type
Satatam
of yajna sacrifices.
Yeah, for different yugas we have different ones.
How come this book shows different? I don't see
Satatam.
C's. I mean, a quick U R R. Yes, T. Satatam is not there.
9:14
It's 9:14
Yeah, it's 9 chapter. Yeah.
9:14
This index is not there.
Page 395
Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantasya drudavrata namasyantasya mam bhakte nityayukta upasate.
So also in the Katha Upanishad, it's clearly mentioned that
Sanskrit is phonetic, they try to squeeze everything into two syllables.
Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bound down from me, this great source
States perpetually worship me with devotion.
Yeah, this verse doesn't specifically say about Kali Yuga and all those things, but there are other scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Katha Upanishad and Kali Santarjana Upanishad.
In Bhagavatam it says. Okay.
Yes, Bhagavatam it says. We can send you the reference.
So basically for each Yuga, there is a prescribed duty for the living entity. Like Satya Yuga, they used to do the
meditation.
The next Yuga, they used to do the fire yajna. No, the deity worship. The next Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, they used to do the fire yajna. And for Kali Yuga, the easiest method is chanting. Because we won't be able to perform the yajna, because we don't have any like qualified brahmanas who can really understand the scriptures. And we won't be able to do perfect deity worship, because we don't even have all the materials to do the deity worship properly. And forget about meditation. We won't be able to even sit for 5 minutes. So that's why this is the most easy method. And our lifespan is shorter Kali Yuga. It's just 100. And every Yuga, it multiplies by the previous yuga it was 1000 and the other previous yuga is 10,000, the next was 100,000. Satya Yuga people used to live for 100,000 years. So they could meditate. You would have heard stories where, you know, Vishwamitra used to sit for 60,000 years or something continuously. They used to meditate. It's there. We have heard many times. So that's why they could meditate and sit, because they had a very long life. In again, the lifespan reduces. The Kali Yuga is where with everything gets degraded. With the memory, with the age, everything will go.
So,
sorry for diverting.
No.
So next, what Srila Prabhupada is going to talk about is define consciousness and bhakti. So actually, from this point onwards, we will see like very, very, very nice definitions of one-liners or one statement of all this like very fundamental concepts.
You should read.
So I would suggest all of you to read the introduction and make a glossary. Consciousness, what does it mean? Bhakti, what does it mean? It's like, it will be very nice because this terminology will be used all over the Bhagavad Gita. So if one of you can write it and maybe at the end of introduction, we can share it with everyone. We can send it to us, we can review a little bit. And so who wants to volunteer to compile this?
Like the definition.
Yeah, I think we should all do it.
Yeah.
Someone misses something, then it...
Okay, so how
so
then?
So we have to like
how we can
our
collaborate?
Definition and
or
what?
No, not your own definition. Whatever is there in the purport, you have to give. There are multiple definitions. So what we can do? One person can create and share a document on Google. Everybody can view it and add it. And final one, we'll just check double check. That'll be useful for your exam also.
Sure, I made you list because transcendental suddenly. Before coming here, I don't even know the meaning of it. So I have few.
Okay.
Sure.
Maybe I can upload it then.
Yes. Yeah. We can
sure.
add to the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
okay.
will be great.
So similarly here, consciousness is defined. That will come later on, like it just before last but one. Consciousness is I am. But we'll go through in sequence. This is the overall topic heading: consciousness and bhakti. So as we know, Jiva is conscious, but it's only conscious of its own body. But the Lord is supremely conscious, like because he's conscious of everyone, everything, whatever is happening. So and other thing is also that Jiva forgets about his past lives. What we did in previous life, we don't remember, because the moment we leave the body and take birth again, we forget. But whereas Lord remembers all his past lives, whatever Jiva did in the past lives, whatever Lord did also. Lord cannot be said to have past lives. But if we say like that, Lord remembers them, because he never changes the body. He always is the same body. He never takes a material body. So that's one verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says like that. I think we covered that earlier. That comes in fourth chapter, where Krishna says that actually I taught this knowledge to sun god Vivashvan first. And then Vivashvan taught it to Ishvaku, like that it came in disciplic succession. It's lost. And now again I am telling that to you. Then Arjuna is saying, sun god Vivashvan is so aged, like is so elderly. How come you said the same knowledge to him and now you are with me? How is it possible? Like you are not so old, like you are born like 100 years back. Then he said, no, I have taken so many births, you have taken many births. I remember all of them, you don't remember. That's why. So that's given in fourth chapter. So then that's the point Prabhu was talking. Consciousness is not generated by association with matter. So consciousness is because of this. Consciousness is symptom of the soul. That's defined in second chapter. Krishna defines what is consciousness. It's a symptom of soul. So that means it's a characteristic of the soul. So it's a spiritual element. But it's not...
217,
consciousness is the symptom of the soul. But it's not born because of association with matter. So that means... So the point here is, same thing, like how can inferior energy create something superior? See, matter is inferior. So how can inferior create something superior? We thought Jiva is superior, right? So how can matter create consciousness? So then actually there is a very nice pastime here, like some atheists, they were debating like this, Prabhupada, like what is this, all body, all we are all made of chemicals. It's all like, if we do chemical combination, we know there is 30% water, this thing, all these things. Chemically we know, that's all we are. There is no nothing. And if you put all this together, then we get consciousness. And Prabhupada said, okay, let's do that experiment. I'll give you all the elements, now create life. He said, no, yeah, I cannot create.
Yeah,
so that's...
So he had a debate with the scientists when he came to US. So that time they told, actually there is a, I think, chart, that's what they mentioned sometime. They have, you know, the body, if you dissect each thing, you can exactly get the quantity of each chemical. Our body, what it consists of, you have. So that's what that's why Prabhupada told, okay, then you already have the chart of all the chemicals, what it's made up of, then why don't you create something, the living entity from that? Then they said, no, we are still experimenting. It's still going on. That's what the experiment they keep all the time saying, that we are still working on. And I think the Disney founder, if I remember exactly the name, right, the Disney founder, so when he was passing away, so he gave, I think, around $10 million to that fund or the scientists. So they deposited money in that, and they told, whenever you find the solution to bring back, you know, the chemical works, everything, please bring me back to my life, like you make me alive. So then I also heard, I don't know, I think it's kids or grandkids, they
had to maintain his coffin, basically, so many years.
They had to pay money, it's
money.
Not, right?
Then they thought, it's what is this old guy, he's already died, and now we have to pay so much to maintain it, and then finally they disposed
they
him off.
They paid more money and they disposed off. There is nice story like that.
So
the other point,
the money can be used for the body, what you can.
That's why they didn't want to waste. So in this one, there is, as she mentioned, right? So the something spiritual can only produce the matter, but the other
one,
it's not
possible.
It's not possible. The matter cannot create something spiritual. So that's why the spirit soul is spiritual, right? The matter, it's anything you take the matter, it's temporary, right? Anything material, that's a temporary. Basically, material world itself, it's a temporary. So that cannot create something spiritual.
Something eternal.
Something eternal, because spirit soul is eternal, so it cannot create. So that proves that we are the matter. Since we are not reading, I will read this one. It's very nice one. That's where I wanted to make this point. The Supreme Conscious Ishvara is similar to the living entity in this way. Both the consciousness of the Lord and that of the living entity are transcendental. It is not that consciousness is generated by the association of matter. That is a mistaken idea. The theory that consciousness developed under certain circumstances of material combination is not accepted in the Bhagavad Gita. So that...
Is that introduction?
Page 10.
Page 11 or 10, yeah. It's in the introduction, page 10. So that's what Prabhupada says, that is a mistaken idea. So the consciousness, as she mentioned, consciousness is...
Symptom of the soul.
It's a symptom of
soul.
The soul, right? Right, if you see the living entity, if you have consciousness, that means you are alive, like basically
jiva
is there.
Otherwise, what's the difference between living body and dead body?
Right,
right?
Body
same
is there.
Right, same body is there, eyes are there, hands are legs, but then living body, they want to caress and like take properly care. The dead body, after 1 hour, they don't want to touch.
Symptom
right?
of soul.
Soul is not there, the living body deteriorates.
Presence of soul.
What happened?
No, it's asking what. So basically, we are soul.
Yeah.
So the symptom of the soul, the presence is self consciousness.
Okay.
Consciousness means if you pinch,
okay.
It pervades the whole body.
Is
yes,
okay.
That's a symptom
okay.
that there is a soul
okay.
consciousness.
So the next point there is because jiva is tiny, it comes in overcome by the material nature, and his consciousness becomes covered. So the original consciousness is pure consciousness, Sachidananda consciousness, which is like I am servant of Krishna. But the moment we made the mistake, we come in touch with material nature and our consciousness becomes covered based on the body the living entity takes. So it's as if like the pure light, when it's covered by different colors of film, shows out to be different colored light. It's like that. So depending on the number of films, the number of different colors, and the depth of so many films we have, that much the original light, it becomes pervertly reflected, contaminated and dim. Like that. So if we put like blue color, so many colors, right? The color comes out differently, and also it becomes very intensity becomes very low. So like that. So based on the body, the original consciousness becomes covered. So we'll, and it exhibits in like, and also it's pretty much as if out of control. See, if somebody is in pig body, the jiva in the pig body, actually Sachidananda. It's like, if in pure state, it will say I'm servant of Krishna. But it has to act like a pig. It is forced by nature to act like a pig. Right? It cannot start speaking Bhagavad Gita. Maybe some pure souls could, but so similar like that. So we are pretty much like so much forced actually by the body we take. And usually they say, no, like men are from Venus, women are from Mars. So they have that conditioning, strong conditioning based on the body they have. Like pretty much it's like, so like that. So that much we are covered. But same jiva, when the consciousness is purified, then he can act transcendentally. So that process, that is bhakti actually. We'll come to that in a later stage actually. Yeah, that's coming in next point. So the next point related to the Lord is when Lord descends, his consciousness is not covered. So when jiva comes, he gets covered. But Lord is above the matter, so he doesn't get covered or affected. So that's why when we take shelter of the Lord, we can get purified. That's 9:10.
For this, there is a reference 338. You can go to
338, consciousness.
That's where it's covered by smoke.
Yeah.
So you can look up 338. That's a reference for the consciousness is covered. We can just note that reference.
So there are 338 where Arjuna asks Krishna, like how am I impelled to act? So what Arjuna is saying is, Krishna, I don't want to do certain things, but I am forced to do certain things. Like I don't want to steal, but I am forced to steal. I don't want to, let's say, cheat this person, but I am forced to do. Why I am being forced to do certain things? Then Krishna answers, it's because of lust. Lust means to enjoy for sense enjoyment. Because of lust, it's happening. And then Krishna explains more about lust. He says like there are multiple coverings. And he tells about how different jiva is being covered. That's the verse Prabhu is telling, 338, where Krishna talks about embryo, and then trees, and then birds and bees. They are different multiple layers of covering based on the body they take. So that's one example in Bhagavad Gita for that principle. Then, so now we talk about bhakti. So generally we have all this, okay, what do we typically think about bhakti? Our definition from our upbringing,
devotion,
or like prayers. If you have to elaborate,
bhakti
means
devotion to the Lord.
Love. Okay, out of love.
Pray, God, like
pray to God.
Pray.
Okay.
Like rituals.
Rituals. Yeah.
Always think about.
Always think about. Okay. Almost we all are on right track. But usually if we ask somebody in India, right, like who doesn't know bhakti, they think like it's like sentiment.
No,
it's not
the from India's perspective only. Like when you say bhakti, you mean to say okay, pray God as a part of one of the daily activities.
Yeah.
No, basically the new, she meant like, you know, new generation. Bhakti means, no, devotion means they think it's all sentimental.
It's all sentimental.
Right.
So people who don't have any
better,
they always say don't have,
don't waste money.
Many people, like for example, devotees used to chant on the road, like holy names chanting Hare Kirtan. So people used to joke and say, hey,
go get
some job, man. Like that, they used to shout. So it's some useless person who doesn't have anything to do. They sit and chant. Even now my dad says, why are you spending so much time doing temple, doing all this thing? Now you're young, you should work hard, get more money to enjoy all those things, right? So that's the pretty concept, that bhakti is sentimental and it's basically useless. Or rather, when you're really in difficulty, you do some prayer. But it's not like somebody can live a life of devotion. That is very strange. So Prabhupada clarifies what bhakti is activities in purified consciousness is bhakti. So that's the simple one-line definition Prabhupada gives. Activities in purified consciousness are called bhakti. So bhakti is not, Prabhupada defines bhakti as devotional service rather than just devotion. As Vishwanath Prabhu is saying, bhakti is devotion. That's a typical definition we have. But Prabhupada defines bhakti as devotional service to emphasize the active nature of bhakti. So when we have love, we do some service. Like when we love our kids, we take care of them, we give them bath, we dress them, right? Service, we do service. So we express our love through service. So similarly, we express our love to God through devotional service. Otherwise, devotion you cannot measure, right? I can say, oh, I have heaps of devotion, but how do I see that you have devotion? You should show it in the activities, right? So somebody, many people there, you know, to escape, they keep saying, oh, you know, I have devotion in the heart. In the heart, I'm always remembering. Why I have to show? It's like, why I have to make sure to others? No, if really have it, you want to do it, right? What is the harm in not doing it? And
so if he loves...
So similar practical example, like let's say young boy and girl, they say they love each other. And the girl says, oh, can you give me a flower? He says, no, I'm busy right now. Oh, please, can you take me to a movie? No, actually I have to meet my friend. So everything she asks, he says, I don't have time. Then how can she believe that he loves her?
Right? If you
so it's a practical thing. So similarly, Lord is also very practical. So he sees, of course he sees our sincerity. Like even if we may not accomplish like zillion things, we may not be able to concentrate our mind by chanting, but he sees our sincerity. If we are endeavoring like Krishna, I'm trying to do to please you, then he accepts that. He is called Bhavagrahi or Rasagrahi. He just gets the essence of the things. Normally in material life, a manager, if we don't do 100% perfectly, he doesn't give us credit. But Krishna is a very good manager. He takes our love.
Okay, what is service?
Service?
What is service?
What is service?
We are saying, devotional
service.
Right?
Activities in devotion.
So, what activities?
Like there are 9 processes of devotional service. Who knows that 9 processes? You may know, Prabhu.
Shravanam.
Yes, these are the 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam,
Vishnu
Smaranam, Archanam, Dasyam, Archanam, Sakyam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. So this verse, I think once we shared also,
Okay.
So these are 9 processes of devotional service. So Shravanam, okay, let's talk about each of them. Shravanam means what?
Listening.
Hearing. So this is Shravanam actually.
Okay.
So this all of us are doing now, devotional service.
Okay.
It is a service.
So hearing, hearing about God is devotional.
When you say service, I am thinking about cleaning themselves.
Exactly.
That's
the reason. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So that is Shravanam.
Yeah.
Okay, next, Kirtanam. Kirtanam means what?
Singing.
Glorifying.
Okay. Chanting.
Singing or
anything.
Glorifying. Like
glorifying.
For example, if I am talking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, this is Kirtan. Glorifying Krishna is Kirtan. Singing is Kirtan. Chanting is also Kirtan. Right? Glorifying the names of the Lord. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam means remembering. So whenever we remember verses in Bhagavad Gita, suddenly.
Prayers.
Whenever we at home will be doing something, we'll remember, oh, Krishna says, okay, let me focus my mind. Something we remember about Krishna, it's Vishnu Smaranam. Or we remember past times about Krishna, oh, Krishna stole butter like this. We read Krishna book, next day we talk about him, like that. So this is Vishnu Smaranam.
That's thinking of Krishna?
Yes, remembering.
Remembering.
Archanam. Archanam is deity worship basically. Puja, aarti, these are all archanam. Vandanam means prayer. So prayers, like we say prayers, right? When we come to Krishna, like sometimes when we are distressed, we say, Krishna, please deliver me, please help me in devotional service, please give me strength. These are anyway, at our level we say like this, but there are very wonderful prayers by acharyas whom we repeat. By doing that, we get like their mood, we can see what the realization, Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayers, so many during festivals, we all sing. These are all prayers. Vandanam, then Dasyam. Dasyam like a servant, like
okay,
pot washing,
okay.
Like doing like a menial servant, whatever is needed. Sakyam, like being like a friend. So this is at a perfectional stage, like Arjuna, like go.
Mataji, you have to.
You have to stop even one step further
okay.
back. Please. Vishnu Smaranam is remembering Krishna's words or deeds, and then is Archanam, right?
Archanam.
Worship.
Worship,
puja, aarti, deity worship.
Okay.
Archanam?
Vandanam
is prayer.
Prayers
like offering prayers and let's say repeating prayers of the acharyas or like prayers of Queen Kunti, like that. Repeating their prayers. Gajendra's prayers. Then Vandanam. Dasyam, like acting like a servant. Like doing menial services in temple or like anything like making garlands, anything. This is like service. Dasyam. Sakyam, like acting like a friend. So that is at a perfectional stage. Look, like Arjuna and Subala and this who is that fat Prabhu? Madhumangal. All these are all Krishna's friends. Sakyam and then
Atmanivedanam.
Same Sakyam. Atmanivedanam is complete surrender. Complete.
Who can do now? No one can do now, right?
Now, no one.
This
yeah.
So when Krishna is there, that is Sakyam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
or actually, or no, but in essence we could do, in the sense that
principle,
we are, if we are friend of Krishna, we want to do what the friend wants. Krishna wants all the conditioned souls to go back to him. So if we really share that interest, like a friend, we want to appease him, we want to make him happy. So we want to do that service to help him, like that.
It's like he's moving, you're just moving boxes.
But,
anyway, that's
yes.
a higher concept, but yeah.
yeah.
So
Atmanivedanam is complete surrender. Like whatever, I just do whatever Lord wants.
So Prabhu, as you said, any service, for example, if we'll talk, I think even it will come. So even your work, it's a service. So only when we keep Krishna in the center. So anything you do, it's all service. And the activities, we don't need to change or anything. Whatever activities we do, right? They say, once you take up some devotional service or, you know, get into this thing, particularly parents are more very scared, right? When you take something different path,
yeah,
they
yeah.
think you give up everything. You will not come back to, you know, family life. It's like, but it's a very different subject. Bhagavad Gita, it's completely different. We'll discuss more. So, actually, I have heard many times, even in my personal life, right? So, once I took up the devotional practice, whatever, chanting, everything, my relationship with my parents, with my brother, with my sister, it's become better. So, that convinced me that it's, the whatever misconceptions people have,
yeah.
or, you know, it's all misguided. But yeah, so the activities you don't have to change. Your relationship with your family, taking care of, everything becomes, actually the devotee means you become more responsible actually for
you
everybody.
You're compassionate also, right?
Yes.
You have that soft heart.
Yes. So you're not hard-hearted. You'll be, you know, soft. You're ready to listen to others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you become a more responsible person. So we have this very, also there is a big misconception, like once you take devotional service, you are not part of the society.
Yeah,
then
right?
separate.
Yeah, you're kind of trying to, you know, become separate or something. Actually, we are kind of contributing more for the, you know, goodness of, for the society.
Right.
So the activities, any activities you do, but keeping Krishna in the center, that's a service.
Service.
Yes, it's a devotional service. And it has a purifying effect.
So the whole process or the whole evolution of our bhakti is all about how gradually we see everything connected to Krishna and use it in Krishna's service. That's all about the perfection of our devotional service. So for example, initially when we start, we don't see any of this. We only see just direct chanting as devotional service, or direct hearing as devotional service, or direct maybe saying the name of Krishna is only related to Krishna. All other things like my wife, my kids, my work, everything else, we don't see Krishna. We see something completely different apart from devotional service. But gradual training of spiritual master and by the cultivation, we gradually come to see how in everything we can put Krishna in center and do it as a service. Then that way we don't live two lives. you know, many times we have this problem, like when I come to temple, I have one life, I have one hat, I'm a devotee hat. When I go to work, I have a different hat. I'm a corporate employee hat. So I'm dual personality, split personality. So who am I? So what will happen eventually is we integrate these two personalities into one being. Wherever we are just serving Krishna. We are seeing how to serve Krishna in all the relationships. As Prabhu said, then it will come out perfection of the relationship. Then it will be very satisfying. Then these will not entangle us. See, that's the way, and this is very wonderful actually. Jiva is now stuck in this material world, right? Now we are, as we said, how powerful the body is. It forces us to act in certain way. Pig means it forces us to act. A hog is forces us to act like that. Woman body, they act like certain way, like that, right? So when there is so compelling material nature on this small jiva, what is the solution for this jiva to get out and go back? How? When it's surrounded completely with matter. Imagine, it's like as if you're drowning in ocean and you have to get out. And you don't have any, even if you're expert swimmer, Prabhupada says you are going to drown. So how? Just think about this. We are surrounded with matter, we are so small. What is the solution? How? The solution is, use the same matter in service to the Supreme. Then the matter becomes spiritualized. The matter becomes, basically the matter regains its original spiritual nature. Then that will no longer bind us, but that will bring us closer to Krishna. See, Prabhupada gives an example of microphone. This microphone, is it matter or spirit?
Matter.
Matter. The same matter when used to serve Krishna in the form of giving these discourses or kirtan, thus that spiritual, that microphone is spiritual. That's all it is. So then everything is spiritual. All we see is spirit. So our Acharya Bhaktivinod Thakur, he is a very exemplary Vaishnava. We see the photo in their Guru Parampara. He is there in one of the Acharyas. So he is a very accomplished grihastha. He is a grihastha, he is wife and he has 12 children. And he is a corporate magistrate or magistrate judge.
Church.
And he is a, at that time British rule was there and is well recognized by British. Especially Indians, for them to recognize Indians is such a rare thing. He is well accomplished, well recognized that it seems that he, in order for him to attend judge, the courtrooms to facilitate, the British government, they built a railroad from his house to the church, court. They built a train. So every day morning he can take the train to attend the court. That much he was well recognized, and he's such a wonderful acharya. He wrote so many books and songs, everything. So his realization is, when I come to after work to home, I see my wife, my children, everyone engaged in Krishna service. I see Vrindavan. I see Vaikuntha. Right? Yeah, so that's the perfection of our consciousness. When we see everything connected to Krishna and we don't see this as matter. Because when we see it as matter, the problem is we try to exploit it.
Mm.
Right?
The
when we see this wife is mine. That means I have any ability to exploit. But when we see wife is Krishna's property, who am I to exploit? I'm just going to help her in her service to Krishna. That's all is my duty. That's how much I can do. When we see something as matter, that means we are trying to exploit it.
How do you relate this in the work? Okay, house you do. You are doing some work what your manager is asking you to do. Okay, so you may not think in your mind that I am working to get promotion, okay, that you are thinking, but you still have to do what your manager is asking you to do.
Mm.
How will you say that I am doing this for Krishna's consciousness? How?
Yeah, so there are actually in 12th chapter, Krishna talks about like multiple layers of how work, or actually 3rd, 4th, 5th, it's all about karma yoga, like action in Krishna consciousness. So there are multiple ways we can connect. Like for example, if you don't have work, you don't have money, so you can't even stay here in the first place to even chant for 5 rounds.
Mm.
Right? So that work is helping you maintain your body and life and family together so that you can do devotional service. That's at a basic level.
Mm.
So that's a basic. Or at a higher level, I'm doing my work with whatever results I get, I'm going to give a little bit to Krishna. I'm going to help to temple. I'm going to build some projects for Krishna, direct charity to Krishna. I'm going to give to some sannyasi. Or some people who have completely dedicated their work as service to Krishna, in the sense, their results, they give almost 90% to Krishna. So for them, there is no difference actually.
So when you say Krishna and other things,
any service
exactly related
to serve to the
devotees. Yes.
You cannot go to
Krishna
direct. Anything to Krishna.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Like for example, the good thing in this temple is, like, as we are part of it, so we work, but also we give, you know, some donation to temple for the construction order. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's how you can use your work as a devotional service.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other, sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
The other thing could be, like, we these days we come to Mangalarti, we take sweets, devotees are making nice sweets. So we pack little and take to work and we put in a plate there outside, commonplace. So some devotees, they like eating sweets, so they just walk by, manager, everybody, he keeps taking sweets, they eat. So it's prasadam. Prasadam distribution, it's devotional service. So indirectly, we are giving them opportunity to do some service. And more than all these things is, if we are exemplary person, maintaining good qualities, honesty, integrity, and compassion, all these things, everybody will notice how we are different from normal people. And that is the greatest preaching opportunity. That's the best way, because if somebody appreciates a devotee, their devotional service is beginning. They can eat prasadam, they can talk Krishna, they can say Krishna. That's it. That maybe some people are not even fortunate to take that. But if somebody just says, oh Pranati, oh my material name is Pranati. Oh Pranati, she does an amazing job. Like, you know, she finishes everything within 1 week. That means they are actually, by glorifying a devotee, they come closer to Krishna. So that's why all the more devotee has to be more responsible at work to be an exemplary person, so they represent Krishna properly.
Okay.
At the same time, we are representing Krishna and we act like nonsense. We are actually, because they will never come to Krishna.
Yeah, they think.
One
of my colleague was there. He moved team, but he told. Actually, later on, he got to know that I'm associated with ISKCON. After some time, slowly he was asking, oh, ISKCON, like, then he liked me in the sense that he had a favorable impression. And generally, casually, he was talking and then, oh, wow, ISKCON, what do you do? This thing, he was asking. Then I told, how do you know about ISKCON like that? Oh, you know what? In Delhi, I immediately after my BTEC, I joined office, and that manager, he used to be ISKCON devotee, and he used to force me. Because he didn't have a way to escape, because managers can influence, right? So he used to force him to go to temple, he used to force him to do all these things. Then he got very scared, he just wanted to quit that job somehow. And from then on, he had a bad impression about ISKCON. That ISKCON means people they try to pull or force or brainwash or whatever. So then after later on, he saw Jitendra Prabhu, which is Yashoda Dilal Prabhu, he saw. Then he felt like, oh, ISKCON may be different, that person may be weird. Then when he saw me, then he felt, oh, ISKCON is different actually, that person is weird. So how that impression he took for 3-4 years, he never even came close to ISKCON because of that. So it's so...
Couple of weeks back, I saw one of my friend he never come to ISKCON temple. I came here today because there is some function. It looks like more traditional, not like ISKCON thingy. That's why I came. What is there different? It's the same Krishna here. We don't come here. Okay, fine.
So, Prabhu, yeah, you can be an example at work. How you do, you know, more responsible way you do things. So you can. That's how you can be a part of the service to them. So yes, you can use your service, work as your service to them.
Prabhu, you were telling, right, devotees, they try to act differently from the rest of the society. So I was listening to one of the audio purport, I think chapter 2, Srila Prabhupada. He said like 6 do's and 5-6 don'ts for the devotees or those who want to become devotees.
Yeah.
So one of them was don'ts.
Atya,
not associating with non-duality.
Yes, yeah.
So that may be one of the reasons. You know, if you try to avoid, you know, some of your friends and family members who are non-devotees,
yes,
they may feel that.
They feel that, yeah. So the best, the solution for even Prabhupada has only said in different places, giving them prasadam. So you don't have to tell anything about Krishna or anybody. You just take prasadam and give it to them. So prasadam is that much powerful. It can purify their consciousness. Basically, it can bring them to mode of goodness. So that they can understand what really Krishna consciousness or how we are trying to help them. Yes. But you know, we cannot. There is an example where Prabhupada gives when he was in UK, London, when they were opened the temple. So a lot of people, you know, that time there were a lot of brahmacharis who joined Prabhupada. So they came and they told, oh, can I go and distribute book in the nightclubs? They asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yeah, you can go and distribute book into the in the nightclubs, but you should know how to come back.
If you can come back, you go. That's what he told.
He told, if you know how to come back from the nightclub, then you can go. Otherwise, don't go. So same thing here. So if you know somebody, you know, who are really envious or who doesn't want to, you know, take up devotional service. Because right now, our faith is just, it's a bud. It's a, like a small bud. It's just growing. So if you associate somebody who, you know, who is very envious, who, you know, completely envious of Krishna, it's very spread, right? A lot of, you see a lot of people like that, who doesn't even want to talk or even doesn't want to take their time out. So if you really mix with them, then that faith will get destroyed.
So they can influence us.
Yes,
yes, they can influence us. So that's what Prabhupada says, we should never associate it with that kind of people, because it's just budding. But since work, we cannot avoid that. Means we have to meet them, meetings, everything, right? We have to talk to them. So best thing is, you have to tolerate, as we discussed some time back. One principle is, you need to know how to tolerate things and just give them some prasadam.
So, and also, association doesn't mean like I will not be in a physical proximity. Like for example, train, if I go, I will be in a compartment, nobody is there, then I will be saved from association. I will not even sit next to this person who is a non-devotee. It's not like that. That's how we feel. What essence? The essence of that instruction is that we don't take from them, like we don't like hear about them, let's say how they're enjoying, how they're exploiting material nature, how we don't be submissive recipient to their preaching. We give association. We slowly, like for example, like prasadam or somehow or the other, finding out how we can tell about Krishna to them, or basically our mood should be how I can bring this person closer to Krishna based on where that person is. Sometimes it may mean I just have to be quiet at this point. Sometimes it may mean I can talk something. Sometimes it may be something else. But our mood should be, then in that case we will be protected. So you see, for example, we all are doing work. But it never, at least we have with the training or so many years of practice, now like we don't feel like, initially when I started, of course, when I started in newly in Krishna consciousness and same time work, I have already been doing so many years. So I could see so much difference in the environment in temple versus there. I used to feel so peaceful, happy in temple. The moment I go to work, the environment used to influence me so much, like so much passion, agitation, and like people trying to pull each other and compete. That used to influence, and end of the day I used to be a different person. Then I come back and again I chant, I'll be again peaceful. So that initial transition is there. But now after 6 years or something, now actually I feel the same. Like because of the morning when we do chanting properly, when I go there, I have the strength to deal with the material energy. The material energy will not influence or affect me in such a way that I get disturbed. So same, of course, I will do voluntarily whatever is needed to avoid degrading situations. Like if there is a party which I can skip, I can skip. I don't have to purposefully go into the situation to see, oh, how powerful I am, how bhakti I am being strongly. I don't need to do all those things. But at least the minimal thing which I have to do, I am protected because of the devotional service. So that's why based on our faith and adhikar, as Prabhupada gave example, like based on our advancement, we should do. Yeah.
So it's like Mataji, words has always a profound effect on our mind, what we hear. So it depends, like you are silent and like calm, but if I start hesitating or something, even though you don't want, but still you will have that tendency to get angry or something. That's why like music,
bhajan,
it will calm your mind. Whereas some different kind of music, it will agitate your mind. So there's a, like, even you can see it, but it will have some effect on you.
So basically, that's why Shravanam, right? Hearing is so powerful. That's why it's like, even while sleeping, none of the other things can help you wake up. That's why
somebody
there is alarm.
You.
While sleeping also, the sound, the sense of hearing is so active. Right?
Somebody.
So, and that's why sound vibration is so powerful. That moment we hear like some, all this contaminated music, like film music or something, it will bind us, it will pull us. But the moment we hear about like bhajans or something, as Mataji is telling, it will help us come closer to Krishna.
The problem is, Mataji, so your devotion is advanced, so you can differentiate and come out of the task. So for people, I'm not going to talk about, I'll talk about me because I'm probably the weakest. Is that so if I go to a movie, I still enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, so if somebody says come to a movie, I'm like, okay.
Yes.
That's fun. I can do that, right?
Yes.
So now the so when I'm here, okay, I'm very calm and peaceful. It's all very good. But when I go there, I still like that.
Yes.
So
yes.
That to let that go, it seems that if I let go, it's like holding me more tightly.
Yes.
The more I let go, the more tightly it's holding.
So that's why you don't have to let go. You just have to replace it with something else.
Yeah, you don't have to.
The laddu thing which Prabhu told once, right? Like a small boy, he wants to eat mud. He's so excited. He really loves eating mud. Mother tells, no, what is this? What fun you are getting in eating mud? No. You know, it tastes so juicy, so nice, some smell, especially after rain. Oh, wow. You also eat, right? Then mom says, okay, I cannot control this thing. I have to do something. So she makes nice laddus and then she gives. Okay, you are eating, that's fine. You eat this laddu. Then the moment the child eats a laddu, he finds so much taste. He stops. He forgets eating mud. So that's why here, right? We don't, of course, some activities we should stop eventually, but in general, activities we need to see how we can use it in Krishna service.
Which can, the activities.
So, not the answer you expected.
So, I'm not expecting any answer.
No, what I'm saying is.
What do you think I was expecting? I was not expecting. I was just waiting for
No, that's very natural feeling, because if I tell about my history, you will always be surprised. So when I was young, before Krishna consciousness, if you put me in front of TV for 24 hours, I'll peacefully watch TV, movies, everything. I have so much conditioning, my Prabhu will tell. Even if I go now to India, every year we go once for three weeks. If some cricket match or something is happening, I'm so conditioned, I get glued. It's unless somebody forces me out of that environment, by nature, I get attracted and I feel I like it. But later when I come back here, then I feel, oh, what is this I did? It's no use.
Well, that's okay. So that's what I was trying to explain.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a conditioning.
Yeah.
So even though, let's say in this case, I have acquired some higher taste because of practice, right? Even then the conditioning itself is so strong that it may take so many years for that taste to go away. So until that time, we have to sincerely endeavor in positive practices. It's okay to go on in parallel. It's okay. You don't have to feel guilty that, oh, what is this? I hear I should not watch movie. At the same time, I'm watching movie. Oh, I'm like a hypocrite. I'm not doing bhakti prop. It's okay, because Krishna sees our sincerity. Okay, even if I have all these things, this person is spending 1 hour hearing about me. So just Krishna sees that much. And that itself is devotional service, and that one will slowly, that's all we have to see is how we can gradually increase that. Then we will find time to, then we'll see, okay, actually if I want to increase that, then I have to give up something. See, initially when we started, every time people say, right, oh, I don't have time. So when we started also 6-7 years back, right, oh, already my life is so full. Okay, morning, get up, whatever, eat breakfast, go to work, come back, go to gym, this thing, and then eat, watch movies, sleep. Where is time?
Yeah.
I don't have time for anything. Oh, these people are saying 2 hours I have to chant. How will I get 2 hours?
Yeah.
My life is fact. Then I say, like, okay, let me chant one round, which just takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So let me start with that. So I start with that. Then, okay, there is some peace. Even though I'm doing so many things, I'm not peaceful. Okay, let me increase some more, 2 rounds. Do that 4 months. After that, okay, why 2 rounds? It's so, it just takes 10 minutes. I can do a little bit more, I think. So that, like that, after 6 months, 4 rounds. Then finally, eventually, we find time to do 2 hours. And then I figured at that time, like, instead of evening, I had a practice to go to gym every day. Instead of doing that, let me go to temple. So from Bellevue, I used to drive all the way to Samamish every evening, attend the aarti at 7 o'clock. I was not married at that time. Aarti at 7 o'clock, eat prasadam, pack for next day lunch and come. That was my plan. So what I did is, because I had so much conditioning, after work, I can't extend work hours, right, to replace the time. I can't watch extra movie. So what I did, instead of that time after work going to gym, instead of doing that, I started going to temple. So that was a very good replacement. So that eventually helped me, replace it without noticing it. So like that, so gradually Krishna will give the intelligence what to do. See, all we have to do is just sincerely desire, Krishna, I want to come back to you. Then Krishna will show us how to do it. He will give us intelligence, he will give us the power, he will give us the purity. That's all.
And it's a gradual progress.
Gym, you know, we can probably hear something about Krishna and do workout.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
also
all.
There. Yeah.
So
because
now you have to answer that.
That's not unexpected. Okay.
And one
so
more thing is, Prabhu, it's a gradual.
I was not, so that's what I'm saying. So when I ask a question, I ask with open mind. So whatever comes, I accept.
Okay.
If I expect something, then I cannot accept the answer, right? That's
and
thing.
It's a gradual progress. So there, you don't see the, you know, the effect in one day. It's
so then
very lagging.
The lagging, okay. So another definition Prabhupada gives about condition. So condition means materially contaminated. This is also one of the definitions you will see in the introduction. Jiva is conditioned, so that means it's materially contaminated. Condition means it will be forced, basically. So the same thing, false consciousness, false ego means that I am this body. That's a false consciousness. And what is liberation? So liberation, typical concept of liberation is that, okay, I will completely get detached from matter. I will become some spark somewhere, right? That's mukti. Mukti, moksha, they feel it's, I will be completely separate from matter. But real liberation means basically freedom from bodily concept or freedom from material consciousness. So that means you develop spiritual consciousness. So that means even in this body, you can have that consciousness. It's not that you have to go somewhere, some other planet to have that. Even in this body, let's say every minute, every time, every moment you're using it for Krishna service, then you no longer have material consciousness. Right? Your consciousness is all about how to serve Krishna. That means you're liberated. That's the verse last time we discussed, right? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana Sochati Nakangshati. So that verse. Where even in this world, even while living in this body, one achieves liberation. And when one leaves the body in that consciousness, he is now qualified to reach Supreme Lord. Because while in this, okay, why do we take a next body? Why do we take another body?
Our unsatisfied desires to fulfill them.
Exactly. So we have some desires, somebody wants to swim a lot, they will take a fish body. Because they can facilitate that desire. So Lord has arranged all these bodies so that we can facilitate our desires. To facilitate our desires. But the whole life we cultivate serving Krishna, and the moment of death, all our desire is to serve Krishna, then automatically we don't have to take another body to live here. We can take a spiritual body, or we can revive our spiritual body and serve Krishna. So that's why this life is preparation for death. So then Prabhupada defines consciousness as I am. So what is that I am? In false consciousness, I am this body, right? I am the creator, I am the enjoyer. In real consciousness, I am servant, right? I am servant of the Supreme Lord. That is real consciousness. So all we have to do is change that consciousness, that's all. Activities can be same, as long as they can be dovetailed. Of course, we can't say, I keep drinking and say, this is for Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada even said to that extent, because Krishna says later on in 11th chapter, how in material elements we can see him. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Krishna says, I am moon, I am sun. So even in this material nature, when we see things, we can see Krishna. So Prabhupada says, if you are attached to drinking, when you keep drinking, you think, wow, this taste is Krishna. You think like that, you get advancement. That's what Prabhupada said. So that's why Krishna is so powerful. Then gradually you will give up. It doesn't mean continue doing it. So that's the thing.
So the Prabhupada here in this introduction, he explains what is this consciousness.
Mm.
This consciousness is I am. Then what am I? In contaminated consciousness, I am means I am the Lord of all I survey. I am the enjoyer. The world revolves because every living being thinks that he is the Lord and creator of the material world. Material consciousness has two psychic divisions. One is that I am the creator and the other is that I am the enjoyer. So that's the material consciousness. That we are the creator, we think we are the creator and we are the enjoyer.
Mm.
That's the difference between the material consciousness and the pure consciousness.
So, but the actual thing is, Lord is the actual enjoyer and the living entities are enjoyed.
Yes.
Yeah. And how does the living entity enjoy? By cooperating. So, some of the examples we discussed, right? Yeah, hand and stomach. So, hand facilitates the desire of the stomach. Then, because of nourishment, the whole body gets nourished. Another example? Tree.
Watering
the root of the tree. Another example?
Indian runs with all this. The car runs.
Yes, machine part and machine. The machine parts facilitate for the machine to work properly. So like that. So similarly, we are as part of the Lord. When we cooperate with the Lord, when Lord becomes happy, automatically we become happy. It doesn't mean we are like really, you know, initially we may feel, oh, I'm letting go so many things and I'm not getting anything here. So that's why it becomes painful. But when we have that, but Krishna is so wonderful, even in the beginning stages, he gives us that taste, he gives us that pleasure, he gives us that reciprocation by which we can continue. See, otherwise, this is a very nice concept actually. Why will, see, all of us, right? This, because you all know us, I'm just giving our example, it's not that we are any great people. See, all of us, let's say, we have done proper education, whatever education, and then work in these things, right? Microsoft or whatever, the corporate, this thing, have money, a car, everything, whatever possible. Even after all of that, why would somebody, if they are not getting anything, any happiness or satisfaction, why would say somebody dedicate so much time and energy in serving the Lord? What is the motivating factor? If they are always miserable and they are struggling, why? What gives them the impetus, right? So the impetus is that spiritual satisfaction. They are getting it. They are getting it. That's why they are able to do it. So actually, like, we are also selfish, and this is real selfishness, because everybody wants to be happy. So we found that this is the real way to have happiness. This is a bona fide enjoyment. This is authorized enjoyment. By serving the Lord, we get happiness. This is authorized enjoyment. And this enjoyment never diminishes. Right? Because it's eternal. Spiritual happiness is eternal. Material happiness stays yesterday and goes today. But spiritual happiness is eternal. So that's why we are actually real investors. We are not investing in something in this world which doesn't exist after we die. We are investing in a spiritual bank account. We can withdraw even in next life. So my friend actually is so surprising. Like one of my, once in a while she comes, she used to be my college mate in, like my senior when I was studying in BTech. And after that, gradually she also came here and I was in touch with her and she knew that I was doing all these activities. From then we had touch and once in a while she used to come to temple. To that extent I have the contact. But she still has the concept that, okay, I'm really sacrificing something. So when she sometimes once she was pitying me like, oh, whenever I see you, I feel you don't eat properly, you don't sleep properly, whole time you're doing this, and oh, your life is like so much restricted, how will you be happy? I couldn't help but say, I'm really happy. And this is what makes me happiness, and otherwise how will I be doing this, right? Day after day, how will I do? I tried all the, whatever you're trying, I couldn't tell like that directly, but I have tried all that, I have seen, I was not satisfied, so I found what gives me satisfaction. So, it's very nice.
So in this, Prabhupada gives one nice example, like, you know, so there will be, I think he says, so we practice all the life, right? Lifelong we practice devotional service. And Prabhupada says, so I forgot the full context.
Yeah, I know.
But where
what,
do they go?
What if the end of the life, there is no Krishna? That
yeah,
time.
So some person says to Prabhupada, so you are practicing all this, you know, chanting every day, 2 hours, you know, offering to Krishna. You are doing so many activities. So what do you do if you come to know at the end of your life that there is no Krishna? Then Prabhupada told him, like, you know, we are doing the same things. We are not, you know, we are not starving.
And we are happy.
We are eating more, you know, sumptuous,
prasad.
Maybe even with ghee, actually. We eat ghee. That's more better. Then with people,
singing,
relationship,
dancing,
right? With the particularly with the relationship with the people. We are more happy with the relationship. That's a loving relationship. It's not, you know, like envious relationship. You don't say, oh, that neighbor has something, you know, big car, I have to buy bigger car. We don't have all those things. It's peaceful relationship. And dancing or whatever, kirtans, we dance like anything. We don't have to go to, you know, dance bar or anywhere, pub and all. We don't have to go. We do it here. So Prabhupada said, so we are doing everything.
And
maybe we are doing more than what you guys are doing. So it's okay. If I come to know that there is no Krishna, I'm fine. I did all
the
activities.
Because whole life I'm happy anyway.
Anyways, I'm happy, I'm okay. But what do you do if you know that there is Krishna at the end of life?
Whole life you wasted.
That's what Paschal Svejar, what he was asking Prabhupada was called Paschal Svejar. That's like atheist favorite questions. If you see, one of them is this. So what if you find an end? Because my friend is also an engineer. He became a lawyer and he became an atheist. He's confused completely.
Yeah.
But I have arguments with him, so I pretty much know where he wants to go.
Yeah.
Every time it eventually comes here only.
Yeah.
So
that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Very nice point.
Yeah.
Very nice point.
So yeah, it's very, no, enjoy.
So in the
joyful process.
I was just like reading in the introduction. In one of the
so which okay, one second.
Sorry.
We referred one verse earlier where Krishna tells devotional service is enjoyable. Which verse was that? Anybody remembers? 9th chapter.
14.
38. Where Krishna says, if this knowledge is revealed from within, you can only sense it. Right? Where it says, pratyaksha avagamanam. Like we said, how do we know we are making progress, right? This knowledge is revealed from within. 9 point, within 1 to 5.
Four.
Everybody can guess something.
Two.
9.2. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. No, but you should remember the context. So when we ask again, you should be able to. See, then you see when you remember the context, you will be able to quote that verse. When you have any question, you know which verse to refer. Right? Yeah,
so
like 9.2. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksham Avagamanam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. So the word Sukh Sukam, very enjoyable. Krishna says this devotion service is very relishable.
This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed.
Joyful.
Direct perception of
perception.
Basically, whatever we do, you can feel it.
We
it's
can
not, you can know what you are doing. It's not some mystery or something.
You can see that realization yourself.
You can feel it or you can see it. So looks like today we didn't but it's good. I feel it's good. It's I don't think these are all very important points. Once we, you know, the foundation is strong, then you can, on that you can build any number of floors. If the foundation is slow, then shaky, then everything will fall later.
It's already time?
Oh. Yeah, it's 8:35. Yeah. So we'll end and you don't have any questions.
Today, right?
Today.